So let's see, 1 Samuel chapter 8, you know where we are, you know the story, so we'll just dig in here. But just such a sweet passage. And it just shows where the world is, shows where the church should be. So it came to pass when Samuel was old, so he's getting up there in age now, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah. And these were the judges in Beersheba, which means the well of the oath. And this is a prominent place in history, a prominent place that we should be remembering. In Genesis 21, verse 31, it says this: "Wherefore he called the name of that place Beersheba, because they swore, both of them." And the background is, Abraham is here. He's come to Beersheba. The people of Egypt have come out, and he's digging wells, and the people are running him over, and so he keeps digging wells. So the captain of the host comes out to speak with him. And they go through this time, and it says, verse 26, Abimelech said, "I wot not who has done this thing." I don't know who's doing this to your wells. "Neither did them tell me, neither yet heard of it, but today." Today is the day, is the first day I've heard of it. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What means these 7 ewe lambs which you set by themselves?" And he said, "For these 7 ewe lambs you shall take of my hand. They shall be a witness unto me that I have digged this well." Wherefore he called the name of that place Beersheba. So a covenant was made. Just an agreement had come about at this place called the Well of the Oath. And so here we are again at this Well of the Oath. But we've got 2 sons of Samuel here. And you would think if there are some sons of Samuel, they'd be good. They're not. They're just as bad as Eli's sons were. Which is kind of awful to see such a man of God with a heart after the things of God have sons who wouldn't even be walking in the truth of what was going on, and yet they're not. But it says in verse 3, his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgments. So we see that just because we're walking with the Lord doesn't mean that our kids are going to, doesn't mean that our relatives are going to, but what it does mean is that we need to keep our hearts straight no matter what our kids do or what our family doesn't do. We've still got to be straight with the Lord. That's part of our witness, that's part of who we are, that's part of what's going on, and so we need to keep our hearts faithful in these times. And we see with all that's going on in the world and all the laws and all the foolishness that's going on that so many things could distract us and take us out and just have us throw up our hands and say, "Forget it, I'm not doing it anymore. It just seems like the enemy's winning." Let me tell you, he's not winning, because this is the weekend Jesus rose from the dead. There was victory there. There was victory in who he was, not in what we see around us. Don't get your eyes fixed on the things that are there. Fix your eyes on the things above, it tells us in Scripture. So get your eyes in that right place. So it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, which is, remember, where he made his abode. He built his house there. He judged Israel from there. He built an altar for worship there. So he's the one in that place. Just a picture of God's people just being faithful to who he was. And so the elders of Israel come to him, and this is what they say. And isn't it amazing that he came as a young man. Everybody knew the Lord was on him. The anointing was there. And yet now that he's older, they're starting to want something different. How quickly we walk away from the things of the Lord after we come to him and start walking with him. And the elders come and they say to him, "Behold, you're old." It's a great thing to say. What a way to start out a conversation, huh? You're old, and your sons not walk not in your ways. So now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Make us a king. Bring us to a place of having a king like all the other nations around us. And we see where their focus has gone. We see what they're doing. They're starting to look at the other nations and say, well, they've got kings and they seem to be doing all right. So why can't we have a king? Why do we have to have God? Oh, it doesn't that kill you when your kids say that? You know, why can't we be like everybody else? Why do we have to go to church on Sunday? This is our day off from school. We need a day off. We don't need to be going to church. That's just another school day. Isn't it awful? And yet we were there, weren't we? We did the same things. So make us a king. Don't order. It's almost like a fast food kingdom here. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. So as we go through chapter 8 here in 1 Samuel, we see that Samuel instantly doesn't start arguing with them, but he prays. And that certainly should be the place that we go to first. One of the marks of a Christian, one of the marks of a man of God or a woman of God is that they pray. Whenever something comes about, the first thing is not to get on the phone, but the first thing is to call upon the name of the Lord. Come to him first and look to him. Samuel prays unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, listen, or hearken, Samuel, to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. I'm sure his mindset is, well, God is going to be on my side. Because I'm a prophet, I've been ruling Israel, I've been judging Israel, I've been ministering there, so God's going to be with me, and he's not going to want that. And instead, God says, your ways aren't my ways, Samuel. My ways are different than your ways. This is going to be for the people. This isn't what would be the best for Samuel, or for a country that was walking after the things of the Lord. This would be all right for judgment to come upon a nation. Because once we see that men are going to rule and reign over nations, we realize how bad off they really are. If they don't want God to be ruling, then they're going to have to suffer the consequences of what's going on. So listen to what goes on here. He says, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you. Don't take this personally, Samuel. This is not about you. This is about me. They've rejected me that I should not reign over them. We see this all throughout Scripture, don't we? In one of the last places we see it is not a place we want it, but it's in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. Hold your place here and go to Luke 19. That would be good for us all. I had to go there this morning, so you're going there. If I got to deal with this, you got to deal with it. But in Luke chapter 19... the Lord is going to give just this time to the people. In down in verse 11, just for time's sake, this is one of the parables, but they have a moral to the story. They have a moral to the thing and probably things that were going on. And it says, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, Jesus, that is, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, God, I want your ways as long as it goes with my mindset. And he goes, this isn't going to happen, just like Samuel. Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They're rejecting me, and they're always going to reject me. He said, therefore, in verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. And delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Isn't that what he told us to? While I'm gone, occupy till I come back again. But this is how these people are going to occupy. We've got a different kind of occupying that we're supposed to be taking care of. But this is what it says. But his citizens hated him. And isn't that true? The world hates the Lord. and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. The first thing he brings about in the parable is what's already gone on in the things of the Lord back here in Samuel, back in Genesis, all the way through Scripture. That man starts following after the things of the Lord, we get distracted, we start walking away from the things of the Lord, and then we say, God, I don't want you in my life anymore. What a sad state of affairs, and yet that's where we find the world today, isn't it? We aren't going to have this man to rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him to whom he had given money, that he might know how much every man had gained. And then came the first saying, Lord, your pound gained 10 pounds. So there was some fruit that was going on. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is what the Lord is going to say to those who are following after him, who are witnesses of him. Witnesses not only in their own life, but in the lives of those around them as they witness to them, that there's going to be fruit that comes. And sometimes the fruit that we see isn't visible fruit, but it's spiritual fruit. And that's what we want with the things of the Lord. We don't want the material things. We want the spiritual things of God to be evident in our lives and to grow and to multiply in our lives. It wasn't so much that this man had some money that the nobleman gave him, even though it is that story, and he increased it, but it's a man of God who's walking after him, who bears fruit, and others come to faith because of his witness in the world. And the fruit that we see is the same fruit that the Lord gives us in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, temperance. Those things start increasing in our lives. We don't automatically get all the love that we need. I don't know about you, but I don't have all the love that I should have. I get on the expressway and there's not a whole lot of love on the expressway. That seems to be the most common place to go to. Or waiting in line for somebody to check out, and you know you're going to go to the line that's wrong. You're going to go to the line that doesn't move for an hour and a half. Because the stupid scanner breaks down, or the coupons come out, and the check comes out. Oh, we can't take your check. It's not approved. Well, here's my card. Oh, your card's not approved. Yeah, and you go through the whole thing, and meanwhile you're looking at the lane next to you, and 50 people have gone through while you're standing there. How's your love going? I'd love to get out of here is what I'd love to do. But that's what happens. But he's growing that fruit in and through us. And as we take a hold of what God has for us, he's going to bring more and more fruit to our lives, which is what we're going to need to have with the world that we're entering into, the times that we're in. We're going to need more of his fruit in our lives. Not less, we need more. And things aren't going to get easier, they're going to get harder. And things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. Lord, they can't get any worse. Yes, they can. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. We've already seen our medical system go to a place of being a third world country. When we went to Croatia, the first time that Kath went with me, I had been there once before, or twice before, I don't know, been there a few times, but she fell down the stairs and broke her collarbone the first night we got there. And we're there for 11 days building Sunday school rooms. And she's going around with a cast on going, let me help, let me help. No! But just being that third world country that Croatia was, because they're not part of the European community, so they don't have all the benefits. You walk in, and if you got money, you can see the doctor. If you don't have money, you're waiting a long time to go see the doctor. Walk in and see all these people that are crippled up and hurting and just lined in the halls. We see it with our emergency rooms, don't we? But if you got enough money, if you got enough clout, if you have enough power, if you have enough of a good medical insurance, you'll get pushed through because they know they're going to get the money out of it. And they're excited about that. We're already there. And it was great because we had $60 was what it cost for her to get an exam, to get a cast put on, to get x-rays, to get through, in and out in just an hour or two. Amazing. Of course, their medical system wasn't great because we got back here and the doctors go, we haven't heard of putting a cast on a broken collarbone in probably 30 years. But it worked for the time, right? But just amazing stuff. But the fruit that the Lord wants, because he knows that the people aren't going to want to be ruled over by him. We're going to get the fruit that's there. And sometimes that fruit is good, but if we're holding on to the things of the Lord and being obedient to the things of the Lord, he's going to look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And isn't that what we want to hear from our Lord? That's the one that we want to please. I'm not here to please you. I'd love to, but that isn't what he's called. He's called us to serve him. And that's the fruit that we want, that we'd be faithful in walking with him. So back in Samuel here, you can finish up that parable as you go through, but it's about the fruit that comes out and how much of the fruit that we want. But the result is the same. They've rejected me that I should not reign over them. Oh, what a sad thing. As God has taken care of Israel over and over and over, and yet they've rejected him. He's brought him back into a place of being there. Samuel has restored some kind of sense of order in the church there. And yet he's growing old, so they're starting to walk away from who he is. Even his own kids are walking away. We shouldn't be surprised by that happening. What we should be surprised is our hearts are surprised. Because he's already told us these things are going to go on, and yet we get surprised when we see it and we go, I can't believe that's happening. And yet we shouldn't be, because that's the way things are going to go. What we should be surprised at is that God loves us even in the midst of it. Thank you, Lord, for that. But in verse 8 here of chapter 8, it says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you. They're going to do this to you because they've done it to me, Samuel. So don't be surprised by it. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. The second time he tells them to listen, he's going to tell them that three times. Because Samuel is in such unbelief, it takes the Lord three times of telling him before he listens to it. He just can't believe. He can't get past the fact that the people have gone this far away. Thank goodness for Samuels in the world and for faithful people who stay faithful to the things of the Lord all the way through their life here in this world. It's just an amazing thing. So therefore, hearken to their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them. Tell them what's going to go on. Protest to them of what's going to take place as they do that. And doesn't Scripture do that? The Lord tells us. These things are going to happen if you obey me. Remember Deuteronomy when we're going in there? the 13 things that he says he's going to bless us with if we walk with him, and the 62 things that he tells us that are going to happen if we don't listen to him. And yet they still didn't listen to him. It's kind of like our own kids, isn't it? I want what I want, and that's all that I want. Oh, boy. So hearken to their voice, but protest unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told them all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And he will take your sons and appoint them for himself. He's going to take for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. So as we go through this section, you don't have to mark it because it's discouraging, but look at how many times he mentions that he, the king, or his ways rather than the Lord's ways. Just in this one verse, it says he's going to take your sons and they're going to be for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Just in that one little verse, we've got all these times that he says he, himself, and his, rather than the Lord's. This is what happens is going to happen when a man rules over you. Oh, and that should discourage us. That should put us in a place, I don't want this. And yet that's what we vote for. Seems like we voted just a few years ago, and look at what we got. We don't have to say anymore. We're being taken, right? And isn't that what he says? You're going to be taken. Okay, and he will appoint, verse 12, him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, or to dig up his ground, and to get his ground ready for harvest, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. It's amazing how much stuff we got to put into a man to rule over us, when God gives it to us for free, and we don't have to pay for it, and yet we don't want it. Isn't it going to be great when we get to heaven and have a spirit-led kingdom instead of a law-abiding kingdom? Oh, my goodness. And we're going to obey gladly there. And so he goes on, verse 13, and he will take your daughters. So your kids are going to be gone to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and he will take your vineyards and he will take your social security. And he will take your pensions. It's so sad. We've got in our fellowship, we got this gal who worked all her life for Fairport Baptist Home, got a pension all set up, went through the whole thing. She retired from it, worked part-time as an aide just to have a little extra income. Fairport Baptist Home just went through chapter 11. She lost her pension. She has absolutely nothing. Where does she go? She's 77 years old. We're back at work. At 77, her husband's 77, working full-time as a janitor in a school. Can you imagine the work that's going on there? And yet, because their pension was taken, when man rules over us, these are the things that are going to go on, and they shouldn't surprise us. But they do, don't they? They just make us gag because it's just, this is awful. And he goes, yeah, but you're getting what you wanted. You're getting what you voted for. You're getting what you're paying for. Oh, here we go. The world isn't going to get better, is it? Sorry about that. This was supposed to be an Easter message, right? He's risen. Yeah, shout hallelujah. Just let's go. Verse 14, he's going to take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and he's going to give them to what? To his servants, to his people, to the ones that he wants. Even though they're awful, he's going to take them for them. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to give to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take, this is just getting discouraging. This is awful. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Whoa, that's sad. Until you repent, until you turn of what you voted for, until you repent of what you've done. And if your heart is right, then you're okay with the Lord. But those things are still going to be gone because we're going to reap the results of what everybody else has voted for and what everybody else wanted. There's still saved people in Israel at this time. It's just that there's not as many that wanted the Lord in the things of the Lord as they did that wanted a king, because it was new and fresh, and that's what they wanted. Ugh. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Isn't that sad? He told them everything that was going to go on, and yet they turned. They did it in Deuteronomy. We haven't made it too far from Deuteronomy. And we're doing it all over again. And then Jesus comes and everybody goes crazy. And there's salvation that happens. And everybody starts flocking to the churches and doing those things. And coming into church and having that relationship and being excited about it. And where are we now? The churches are turning from the Lord and they're teaching things that aren't godly. They're teaching things that aren't in the Bible, and yet they're doing it in the Lord's name, just like they did in Israel. We don't want this man to rule over us. We want something different. We don't want God's Ten Commandments. We want our own. And what are they getting? They're getting what they wanted, and it's sad, and your heart breaks for them. And you know what else? It bothers us because we're reaping the results of what they wanted, aren't we? We've got a nation that no longer follows the Lord, that no longer wants the Ten Commandments, that no longer wants God to rule over us. We're getting what they wanted. And we're suffering the results of it. And our hearts need to be crying out to the Lord, not just for a right heart, but for the Lord to come back and save us. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Now, I don't know about you, but that's been my cry more and more lately, is just come get me, Lord, because I am just tired of this. I don't want to see anymore. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us that we may also... that we also may be like all the nations. We want to be like everybody else. And if you see everybody else going in one direction, it's probably not a good idea to go there. And what do we see in the churches? We see mega churches rising up that aren't teaching the Bible, that are teaching everything but the Word of God, and people are flocking to them. The music is great. You know, that kills me. My grandson is in one of those churches, and it just kills me because we listened to, I think it was their Christmas service, and the only thing that we heard from him about it was that the music was great. What about the word? There wasn't much of a word, but the music was great. It was professional. It was exciting. Confetti fell down from the ceilings after the service was over, and everybody was cheering. Where's Jesus? He's not in the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, waiting for somebody to answer, and nobody answered. Oh, how sad. And yet these are the huge churches, the church he goes to, 8,000 people in the church. They take care of my kid for Sunday school. Wonderful. What about the word? Oh, we don't have to bring our Bibles. It's on the screen. And besides that, even if we brought our Bibles, we couldn't see them because the sanctuary is so dark. The only ones that can see are the ones up on stage. Oh, I hate to tell you, if my Bible isn't open, I'm not staying. I need to see my word. I don't want them showing me what they want me to see. I want to see what God is saying he wants me to see. And that should be our hearts coming into church, not just coming out of church, but going into church. Lord, if you don't show me, I'm not going to go. There's your message for today. So that we may be like all the ones around us. We want to be like all the nations, that our king may judge us. Not that God may judge us, but that our king can judge us. And what do we want today? We want our president judging us. You know where he's going to judge you to? They're making camps for you and I. At least we'll all be together and we'll have great Bible studies, but we ain't going to like where we are. That our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. It says nothing about the Lord going out before us. Because remember what happened to the children of Israel when the Lord was reigning over them? He would go out before them and fight their battles. Now what are they saying? We want a man to do that. Well, what if our man isn't as big as somebody else's man? Then we lose. Oh. Did you ever see God lose a battle when he went out before the people of Israel? There's not one battle the Lord ever lost when he goes out. We're the ones that lose by choosing somebody besides God. That's what we're losing. That's what this country's losing. That's what this world is losing. Because right now, the world wants somebody to rise up and take control of the world because there's not a leader in any country that's good enough to do it. You know who they're going to vote for? Mr. Antichrist, Mr. Antichrist, we want you. But thank goodness we're going to be gone. Because if we didn't vote for him, we're going to have our heads chopped off anyway. So I'd rather go to heaven whole than lose my head over it. But he says that the king is going to go out before us and to fight our battles. I want God fighting my battles. But that means you have to have a relationship with him that's going to say, God, I want you first. I don't want a leader first. I want you first. Jesus has to be first in our lives over everything that we are and over everything that we have. And so the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to their voice. Third time he tells them just in this chapter, Samuel, you need to listen to them. I can just see Samuel. I could see the steam just starting to come. What is wrong with you people? We get like that, don't we? What is wrong with you that you don't want Jesus, that you want this? I mean, look at what we have in the White House. We got this. And we want God. I want a theocracy. I don't want a democracy. Democracies aren't any better than dictatorships. It's just different people in there. But the result is always the same. We're going to lose. If God isn't in charge, we're going to lose. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go every man to your city. And I'm going to do that. Don't hold your place here. We aren't going to come back. We'll have a short one today. But go to the book of Hosea. It's one of those books in that section that we never get to. After Daniel comes Hosea. So go to Daniel and then turn right. Hosea chapter 13, almost to the end of the book. A great portion of scripture that we come to in this, a great portion that we have. And in chapter 13 of Hosea, it says this. Let's pick up at verse 1. We've got time here, so let's just go through it. When Ephraim, which speaks of Israel, every once in a while in scripture, Ephraim speaks of the nation of Israel. It's just another phrase for Israel. Sometimes it's called Jacob, sometimes Ephraim, sometimes Israel. When Ephraim spake trembly, he exalted himself in Israel. This is the Lord speaking. But when he offended in Baal, he died. So the Lord is just rehearsing to them what they've done. And now they sin no more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of the work of the craftsmen, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Ugh. Speaking of idol worship, what do we have in America? We've got great idol worship. We do. It's all idols. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away. You know that the dew that's there, and once the sun comes out, it burns the dew off the earth and you don't see it anymore. This is just the way that those people are that are going to be like that. They're here 1 minute and then they're gone. and somebody else takes their place until you realize that you need something more than something that's going to pass away. You need something permanent and stable. And there's only one that's stable, and that's the Lord. As the early dew that passes away, and like the chaff that's driven with a whirlwind out of the floor and is the smoke out of the chimney, you know, you see the smoke coming out of the chimneys, and where it just goes wherever the wind blows, and that's the way the things of the world are, and how fast it goes away and you don't see it anymore. Yet I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. So speaking to believers, and he speaks to our hearts this morning, I think, at least he did for me, and he said, yet I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. I brought you out of darkness. I brought you to the marvelous light, because Egypt is just a picture of the world. He says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the things of the world to come to a faith and an understanding. And you shall know no God, notice small g, but me. I am the one and the only God. And I've got a capital G because I'm the only one that's worthy. The others are just rulers, but I'm the Almighty God. There is no Savior beside me. It should be, shouldn't it? There is no God but me. Don't go looking for anything else but me. Don't go looking for relief from the IRS, because you're not going to get it. Their tax codes are changing every day, and they're going to get everything you got anyway, so don't worry about it. It's coming. What have they said about the new global system that they want to bring in? That you're going to own nothing, and you're going to be happy about it. So when they take all your money for taxes, you're going to be happy. You're going to sit there and smile and go, isn't this wonderful? I've got no gas stoves. I've got no gas furnaces. I've got no gas cars. I have no gas lawnmowers. You know, in California, there's already a ban on gas lawnmowers. You know that, right? Guess what's coming to New York? Because what California does, New York is quick to follow. Hochul is already talking about it. So be ready. They're going to be out of the store soon. So if you want one, you got to get one now. But then you got to be able to have your own gas pump so that you can have your own gas. I don't know. Not going to work. But anyway, there's no God but me. I'm the only Savior. Mr. Newsom, Ms. Hochul, none of those are going to save you. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to save us. And he's risen again. That's what we're celebrating this week. That's the week that we're coming into. I did know you in the wilderness. When you were walking in darkness, when you were walking in the wilderness, I was the one that knew you there, and I'm the one that brought you out. In the land of great drought, where there was famine, where there was no refreshment, I knew you there, and I came to minister to you there. I'm the one that saved you and continues to save you. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be to them as a lion, and as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their hearts. And there will I devour them like a lion, and the wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. But, I love this, but in me is your help. Not was your help, but is now and will be forever your help. When you need help, we know one who is quickly coming to help us. His name is Jesus. I will be your king. Look at what he's saying through Hosea. I'm going to be your king. I'm going to be the one that's king over all. And what's his name? King Jesus. He's prophet, priest, and king. Nobody else in Scripture was ever prophet, priest, and king. There were prophets who were priests. Sometimes there was a mix in there, but not one of them who was ever king over Israel was also prophet and priest. Only Jesus. as prophet who brings us into these prophetical messages that speaks to us the word. I was priest. I was the one that made an offering for you. I'm the high priest. I'm the great high priest it talks about in Hebrews, and I'm going to be your king. He's going to rule over all. He's the only one that could fulfill all three. Gee, three in one. I wonder if there's something else that we think of that's three in one. Okay, Trinity maybe. Oh, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. In me, not on me, not believing on me, but being in me. You have to be in Christ to have this relationship. I will be your king. Where is any other that may save you in all the cities? Look around all your cities. Do you see anybody that can save you? Go to San Fran. Is Miss Pelosi going to save you? She doesn't even want you, much less save you. She's got a wall that says, keep out. What does Jesus say? Come unto me. Everybody else says, keep out. This is mine. Jesus says, come in. This is all yours. Oh. Who else is going to save you in all your cities and your judges whom you said, give me a king and princes? That's what they said, isn't it? That's what they said to Samuel. We're way up in the last part of the Old Testament. And what are they saying? Give us a king to rule over us. The same message is there. We won't have God to rule over us. We'll have a man who is foolish and stupid and dumb. But he's a charmer, so we'll keep him. Oh my goodness. I will give you a king in my anger, and I'm going to take him away in my wrath. Isn't that what he did with Saul? They gave him a king. He was upset about it, and he took the king away in his wrath because he wouldn't obey the things of the Lord. Because no man can. Only Jesus could. That's why he accepted the sacrifice that we see on Good Friday and then received it by accepting Jesus in his resurrection. That's why Jesus rose, because God the Father accepted the sacrifice that only Jesus could give. No man could give it. That's why the tomb is empty. And when Mary came, what did she say? Mr. Gardener, where's the body that was in here? And he said, he's not here, he's risen. Hallelujah. We've got a risen Savior. And that's what we're looking for. Lord, we want you to come and minister to us now. But you know what he can do in the midst while we wait for his return is to trust him in the midst. Lord Jesus, come and save me from where I am right now. My heart is awful right now. I just got off the phone just a bit ago. This is a confession. Probably shouldn't go on the radio, but it will. I just got off the phone with somebody because I got news this week that wasn't really what I wanted. And I knew I had to have my heart right. And I've got three or four guys that I call a lot and just want to be accountable to. And I called one of them, and he pretty much told me where I was. And it wasn't good. It was just like, okay, I'm going to hang up here and call somebody else who's going to tell me what I want to hear. I want to be upset. And you can't be upset. God's doing something else. Which is what I knew, but I needed to hear it. And don't you love it when you need to hear something and he tells you for what it is? Because it's always good. Because God always does good and always is good and all the time does good. And that's what we want. So, Lord, help us this morning. We're in that place, Lord. We're in these times. We see so much of the world that just looks so awful. And we're crying out. When the children of Israel cried out, Lord, you came and ministered to them. And Father, we're here crying out this morning for you to come and minister to us in the midst of the days that we're in, until you one day come and take all the believers off the earth as you rapture the church out of this world. And then you bring your wrath upon mankind for what they've done and the way that the world leaders have led them. But Lord, until that time, help us to be content in who you are and what you're doing in our life. We need you, and we just look to you this morning. Ask for your ways to be ours, and ask for your heart to be ours. So minister to us, Lord. We just love you. We thank you. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.